The 2020 MLB season will be one like any other that we have seen before. A 60-game sprint in just over 2 months to decide who will be playing in October in a format that lends itself to the unpredictable. But that's where Greg Peterson comes in. He's got you covered daily, highlighting elements and angles that will be essential to know, along with his picks with every single game on every single day. Now it is time for the Baseball Betting Podcast with Greg Peterson.
Hey, warm hello, welcome to Love You Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Podcast. Myself, Greg Peterson, now powered by Book It Sports. Book It Sports is going to be coming your way, ironically enough, in about a week or so, and it's going to change the way that you look at sports and sports betting. The app is launching November 1st for Android and iPhone. You've heard me mention it on this podcast a few times, but it's got a terrific interface, much like you'd find for like an Instagram, Twitter hybrid. You're able to get all the things that you love about like gambling, Twitter, with being able to interact with bettors. You're able to post up your picks. You're able to track line moves, all that good stuff. And you get to cut out some of the stuff that you don't like so much, like your mom randomly posting memes on Facebook, all the debate coverage that we're having right now. You don't have to deal with any of that. Instead, you just get to look at it from a sports and sports betting perspective, track your record, so much more. You're able to follow all that they do at Bookit HQ. And at P. Creighton 1 is where you're able to follow our guest for today on the podcast, as Patrick Creighton does a great job as a radio show host out there with ESPN 97.5 in the lovely city of Houston. Going to be joining me in the second segment. We recorded an interview with him just before Game 3 wound up going final, so we're going to talk to him about the series in general, some of the angles that we might be taking a look at, especially with the bullpens. I know that he very much is a believer that the Dodgers might have a little bit of Bill syndrome in them, in that they always make it to the championship. They haven't been able to bust through, so we're going to be talking to him about that. It's going to be a terrific second segment, and then in the final segment, I'm going to give you guys my side and total for Game 4 of the World Series, and something I like to call touch them all. First things first, love to be able to answer any questions that you might have for this podcast. You're able to fire those in one of two ways. My Twitter timeline, at @yours41, as per usual. Those letters DM to me mean does not matter, aka direct message. Always send those in to the Twitter timeline. And then, if you also would like, you can send it in via an Apple Podcast review. And if you rate this podcast 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, you actually help out the exposure of everything that I'm doing. More people get to see, oh, the Baseball Betting Podcast with Greg Peterson. They're doing some very solid work. Look at all the 5-star ratings that they have. And from there, you're able to send in your question, comment, concern, what have you. So I always do appreciate that. And I actually saw that a couple of you guys rated 5 stars. So thank you so much. It really does mean a lot. We did not get in any Twitter questions today, but with that said, we did see a very intriguing Game 3 out there in the World Series. Overwhelming Game 3 of the World Series. Let's dive into that, recap it, and try to get to know a little bit more about both the Dodgers and the Rays.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the Rowdy Recap.
Today's recap is brought to you by my good friends at MyBookie. And with MyBookie, they are able to help you make the most out of your bets because they are giving you a dollar-for-dollar deposit on your first deposit when you sign up with them. And all you need to do, use the promo code OVERTIME. And that deposit is for up to $1,000. All you need to do is wind up signing up with them, use that promo code, and it is all one word, OVERTIME, and you're able to bet on a variety of different things. As you guys know, on this podcast, I give you guys a side and total on all these games, but they go a little bit deeper with the player props, in-game betting. So let's say that you've got the under in Dodgers versus Rays. You're not feeling it after the first couple innings. Well, you're able to help out with that. You're able to mitigate some of those losses, or you're maybe able to set up a middle for yourself, so much more so. You've got so many options there, and there's just so many options for offense on the LA Dodgers as they wind up being able to get the Game 3 win by a count of 6-2. Now, I mentioned that it was a little bit of an overwhelming game because the man who has become such a star in this postseason, Randy Arozarena, goes deep off of Kenley Jansen. His first home run of the World Series, his 8th of the postseason. I believe that ties the postseason record, but for the Rays, really past that, you didn't have much else. The team in general got 4 hits. That home run from Randy Arozarena and 3 others, there just wasn't a lot doing, as Walker Buehler, terrific in this start. Six innings pitch, he does give up 3 hits, 10 punchouts, 1 run give it up, and I've been talking on this podcast about how walks have been a little bit of a bugaboo for him. He wound up giving up 0 walks in that Game 6 start against the Atlanta Braves, just 1 on this night. And then Blake Treinen, Bursuter Gratterall, they both go a scoreless inning, and then our good friend Kenley Jansen, he does give up a run, but obviously with the Dodgers up 6-1, a little bit of a less concern for them rather than over betters. And if you're taking a look at the Dodgers' pair of home runs for them, Austin Barnes winds up going deep for this team. That is his first of the World Series that comes off of John Curtis, 2 S's on the end of Curtis, and then you also get a Justin Turner down for what home run. That is his second home run, and I believe the team's last 5 games. He certainly is a stalwart out there in that lineup, now hitting above 300 for the series. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, Charlie Morton, who had been Mr. Old Reliable for this team during the postseason, well, he was not so reliable in this one. He winds up giving up 5 runs, all of which were earned over the course of 4 1/3 innings. Prior to this, Charlie Morton, I believe, had an ERA that was sub-2 coming into the start in the postseason, so that was certainly not what the team was hoping for. And then Curtis from there winds up giving up that home run to Mr. Barnes. I will say, back half of the bullpen, they were able to do a solid job. Ryan Sheriff, a scoreless inning. Shane McCallahan gives the team a scoreless inning along with Ryan Thompson as well. What it all means is that the Dodgers are now up 2-1 in the World Series. So let's get the reaction of our good buddy Patrick Creighton, doing absolutely superb work out there with ESPN 97.5 in the great city of Houston. Talk about this series in general, the Game 4 starters with Julio Urías and Ryan Yarbrough going at it, and so much more. And that's on the other side right here on the Baseball Betting Podcast. Myself, Craig Peterson, now powered by Book It Sports, which is coming your way November 1st to a smartphone near you.
Greg is calling in a pinch hitter from the Overtime Network Hotline.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Podcast. Myself, Greg Peterson, now powered by Book It Sports. Book It Sports is the app that's going to be changing the way that you look at sports betting. Everything from being able to track line moves, to being able to post up and track your plays, to being able to just get live scoring updates. It's one of those things where it is exactly what you've always wanted from a social media site for your bets, without the things that you don't like mindless conversations about things that don't involve sports whatsoever, but rather some interesting things to family members posting up random memes that you don't care about. You're able to follow them at Book It Sports. And our next guest is out there in the great city of Houston. Does a great job with the show Late Hits. You're able to find that from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. If you're looking out here on the West Coast, that is 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And you're able to follow him on Twitter at PCreighton1, as it is Patrick Creighton joining me on the podcast. And Patrick, always great to get you aboard. Thank you so much.
Always my pleasure, brother.
It is going to be a really interesting run the rest of the season as we are going to be approaching Game 4 of the World Series for Saturday. And first two games were very much a mixed bag. In Game 1, it looked like, all right, this is a Dodgers team that we were all expecting to just run roughshod through all of Major League Baseball. But then in Game 2, what I think the Rays badly needed is exactly what happened. Brandon Lau, who had been terrific during the regular season, ice cold during the postseason, he winds up hitting 2 home runs. It had really been Randy Arozarena and Manuel Margot, under the radar, hit 5 home runs going into Game 2 of the World Series after he had 1 during the regular season. So I think that he's not getting the clout that he deserves. But when you take a look at the Tampa Bay Rays, I think the biggest key for them in the series is just having a little bit more balance with regards to the lineup, because for them, it's really been 2 or 3 guys. That's about it. They've been just dealing with a whole bunch of guys striking out. And if they're able to get a little bit more balance, I do think that they can hang in there against the Dodgers team. But let's face it, they've got the best offense out there in baseball.
You know, the Dodgers have won the division 8 years in a row. And they're kind of like the Braves of the 90s. They win the division every year. You look at their team. Their team is stacked every year. Some years they even have monster win totals in the regular season. But they just don't seem to be able to finally get over the top and win a World Series. The Dodgers, to me, are a hard team to root for because they're so sanctimonious and they're so pompous. Like, they're the only white hat cowboy in the land of the black hat cattle rustler, where everybody's a dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking cheater, but they're the good guys and they're going to bring all the good and righteousness back. And they've been cheated and they've been robbed, but they're finally shut up. Like, you're supposed to be the best team in baseball. You had the best record in baseball. You had the best run differential in baseball. You went and imported 3 guys from a team in the AL East and the Red Sox that didn't just cheat once. They cheated twice. But we don't make any mention of that because only the Astros are cheaters. But the Dodgers go on and on with, oh, well, you know, we got robbed in 2017. You scored one run in game seven in your own building. You didn't get robbed. You choked. And really this season, this matchup to go against the Tampa Bay Rays team that only had three less wins than the Dodgers did this year, to go against a Rays team that is basically, it's a bunch of nobodies and cast offs, right? There's no big star on this team. Who's the big star? Tyler Glasnow's not a big star yet. Blake Snell's had one really good season where he pitched 5 2/3 innings every game, but they don't have, quote, a big star. The Dodgers are loaded with big stars. So the Rays, to me, you know, they're the underdog team. They're the classic old school pitching, defense, base running, grit, hustle, you know, and they're always bottom five in payroll. That, to me, is the easy team to root for. And with the Rays, you know, we saw this against the Astros, the first three games against the Astros. They can make unbelievable defensive plays. And that is something that can help turn the tide when the other team has more firepower than you do, which the Astros had more firepower. The Dodgers have more firepower than the Rays. But if you can play that phenomenal defense where it's like there's 10 guys on the field all the time, it gets in guys' heads. We saw in game three, George Springer slam his helmet down after another just unbelievable defensive play. And you could see the Astros were frustrated. You also saw in game seven of that series how the Rays got out to an early lead. And boy, did that change their entire mindset. They went from feeling all the pressure, worrying about choking it out, a 3-0 lead, to, hey, we're up 3-0 in the first inning. We got this. And that ability, a lot of defense pitching, but they can hit home runs. So they do have the ability to hang in there with the Dodgers. And I think if the game is very close, it favors the Rays, because I will take the guys at the back of the Rays pen over Kenley Jansen in a big spot pretty much any time in the postseason. Kenley Jansen, man, you might as well throw out Aroldis Chapman out there. Big spot, late inning, postseason. Here comes a cookie.
Yeah, and it's not been good for Kenley Jansen, to say the least. I will say Nick Anderson has had a little bit of a rough go of it for the Rays as well, but I know that the Rays have been going with their shirts that say 98ers. If you remember, Mark Brasso got thrown at by, ironically enough, for Aroldis Chapman. Kevin Cash winds up saying, you know what? I've got a whole bunch of guys in my bullpen. They all throw 98 miles per hour. That's been a little bit of a rallying cry for them, as we do have Patrick Creighton of ESPN 97.5 out there in Houston joining me on the podcast. And then a guy that, ironically enough, has been the best closer for the LA Dodgers so far this postseason. That'd be Julio Urías. He is going to be given the starting game four. If there's one guy that you can feel pretty good about with the Dodgers, it is Urías, because we remember he was supposed to be the next big thing coming up like 4 or so years ago. He was looked at as a phenom. Then he winds going down with Tommy John surgery. He's really been able to rehabilitate himself. He's made a grand total of 11 starts and 4 long relief appearances. 2 runs or fewer given up in 13 of those appearances. He has been lights out in the postseason, 16 innings, giving up 2 runs, only one of which was earned. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, it's unknown whether they're going to go with Ryan Yarbrough as a starter or if he's going to be a bulk guy. But I do think that this is really fascinating, because with Urías, he has really been sort of the jack of all trades for the Dodgers. And talk about a guy that has had an interesting ride to be able to get to where he is right now. That certainly is Mr. Urías.
You know, Urías is a really interesting case in a guy who's had an incredibly improbable road to Major League Baseball. You know, this is a guy who had a mass in his left eye when he was a kid, and he needed 3 surgeries to remove this mass on his left eye. And that's why his left eye always looks like it's closed. He can see through it, but these 3 surgeries are why his eye looks, you know, so weird. And then in 2015, he is able to have another surgery to help fix that. You know, you mentioned he had Tommy John surgery. He was arrested for domestic battery about 1.5 years ago. Case was ultimately dismissed. So I have no idea what happened, but this is a guy who's just, he's had a very strange road to where he is. And through all of that, blessed with a left arm that can throw a fastball between 90 and 97, and he's able to change the speeds and ramp it up when he needs it. He's got a terrific changeup, throws a curve, throws a slider. He has terrific stuff, and he's got a brilliant pickoff move. So a young guy who, I mean, look, if you look at the way the Dodgers are setting up their rotation for the next few games, you know, you're going to have Urías go tonight, and then Clayton Kershaw go game 5. If you look at the way this is set up, Walker Buehler, Julio Urías, and Clayton Kershaw, they got to take 2 of these 3 games minimum, because after that, they're going to start getting into those bullpen type games again. And they're not real good at those bullpen type games. I think games 3 and 4 are huge for the Dodgers because they need to be able to get to that game 5 with Clayton Kershaw up in this series. And, you know, it's almost sacrilege to disparage Clayton Kershaw for a Hall of Fame career. But in the postseason, it's like clockwork. This train is never late. He has good start, bad start. Good start, bad start. Well, he had a great start in game 1. I don't want to say you know what's coming for game 5, but I feel like we know what's coming for game 5. If you just look at their recent history, right? Last year, they lose in the NLDS to the Nats, and Nats go on to win. The year before, they get smacked in the World Series by a Red Sox team that cheated twice, but we don't talk about that. Then they lost to an Astros team
that also cheated.
Then they lost to the NLCS the year before that. So it's like every year, okay, this is going to be the year. This is going to be the year. This is going to be the year. Bam, something happens. This is going to be the year. Bam, something happens. So if you go into that Kershaw game and you're, like, say, tied 2-2, at what point does the, man, we're freaking cursed, start to seep back into their heads? Because, look, there's a lot of guys on this team who have been on the team now for 4 or 5 years. You're going to start wondering, at what point is it getting their heads? I think Arias is probably a guy that they could probably depend on to get a solid start. He's interesting in that despite his age, he seems very nonplussed by everything. He goes out there, he does his job. Walker Buehler has been a guy who, for the most part, can only go out there and do his job. I'm concerned about Kershaw. I am concerned about the psyche of the Dodgers if their inability to, say, get out to a lead and then hold it down. Like, if they find themselves in these back and forth tight games, I wonder at what point are they, oh man, you know, the Rays make a big defensive play and we're cursed again.
And what else I think is very important is that the Tampa Bay Rays are sort of used to being in unusual situations where it feels like the Dodgers aren't, because the Dodgers in past years, they had sort of that jack of all trades in Kenta Maeda. I was talking about Julio Urias and the way that he was able to close out game 7. Kenta Maeda was a guy that was able to start a couple games for the Dodgers in the postseason. He was able to be that long guy out of the bullpen. And for the Dodgers, I just feel like they don't have that presence this year because they've sort of tried that with Dustin May. Dustin May has been like an opener in 3 games. He's come in relief in a couple games. He hasn't looked like the way that he was during the regular season. Now, in the regular season, it's not like he was getting a bunch of swings and misses, but he certainly had an ERA better than 5, which he has out here in the postseason. And then you also have a young guy, Tony Gonsolin, that during the regular season as a starter, he had a sub-2 ERA. Here in the postseason, 9.39 ERA. He did not have a good start in game 2. And when you take a look at the Tampa Bay Rays, this is a team that, even though they don't have that World Series experience, I feel like a lot of people forget, they were actually able to play some very solid games against the Houston Astros in the postseason last year. And what you're noticing is some of these guys have just come out of absolutely nowhere. These guys like Aaron Loop, Peter Fairbanks, whenever they need to come out of the bullpen, whether it be 1 inning, 2 innings, what have you, they're all prepared to step in and do their job. Meanwhile, these Dodgers, they feel like a little bit of fish out of water when they need to go to that bullpen for someone other than a normal reliever.
It's weird, but we've kind of seen this in the past with different guys, right? Players who are hyped up and they've kind of been spoon-fed to us sometimes early in their career, especially when they're coming up to a very veteran team with a ton of expectations and their role kind of changes month to month, you know, however the team might need them during the season. Those guys, sometimes they feel the pressure like, all right, I'm this big prospect. I haven't really been able to get comfortable in a role because I keep getting bounced around in roles. Now we're in the postseason. I got to deliver and the moment's a little too big for them. When you're on a team whose payroll might hover around $50 million in a regular season, and everybody on that team is fighting and scrapping and clawing to make their way onto the team, then you get on the team. Like, they don't have set roles because it's, hey, I made the team versus, you know, I've always had this role. This is what I do. And guys who have to fight and claw for everything they have tend to not feel that pressure as much because, man, they have pressure from the day spring training opens. They're trying to make a team and make a living. So is a big difference between that guy who's, you know, the $1 million bonus baby and the guy who's fighting and clawing for his job. And sometimes those scrappy guys, well, they don't feel it because like they've been feeling it all year. And I think that's a little bit of what you get with the Rays. This team, they fight, they scrap, they claw, whatever it takes. They are unconventional. They've been unconventional for a long time. You know, this is one of the first teams to do openers and bullpen games. You know, they've been doing this now for 6 years. I don't think that those kind of changes affect that team the same way, because this is That's standard operating procedure for them. It's not for the Dodgers. We've seen in the past guys have expectations on these veteran teams, and there's a lot of pressure. We don't know what their status is in the locker room or how they get treated or whatnot, but guys do feel that pressure. And it's clear, like May and Gonsolin, those guys have felt the pressure. They don't look anything like the guys they were in the regular season.
I agree with you. They certainly have not been as effective in the postseason as they have in the regular season. And ultimately, we're doing this before we know the conclusion of Game 3. But which of these teams, as the series is pretty much a best of five as we're doing this conversation right now, do you think winds up pulling it out? I do think that the Dodgers are eventually going to break through, but I do think that you make some very good points with the Dodgers this year in and year out. It's sort of like clockwork with this team not coming up clutch. Meanwhile, the Tampa Bay Rays, do they have the firepower of the LA Dodgers? Heck no, but at the same time, they've done just a good job with being solid, having those great matchups, and they're a team with so much bullpen depth. And when you have bullpen depth, you're able to hang in any game.
Here is like the ultimate conundrum for the baseball fan, right? If you're a bettor, you're betting on the Dodgers. There's more talent. There's more stars. They're a highly paid team of a bunch of all-stars that you expect is going to be able to beat a team that's payroll is like not even a quarter of what the Dodgers are, who don't have any stars. The Dodgers have been the best team all year. You know, they've got a couple of the best players in all of baseball on their team. They just gave Mookie Betts, you know, basically the GDP of Venezuela to stay on that team. So you, as a betting person, you're like, all right, I'm going to lean to Dodgers. There's just too much there. As a fan, you've got to be rooting for the Rays. Classic underdog, old school pitching and defense, base running, gritty, scrappy, hustle team. If the Dodgers lose this World Series, how many more excuses can they make? Like, who are they going to blame? Are the Rays now sign stealing too? You know, what are going to be the excuses for this team that all year long has basically had the opinion, public and private, that it is their destiny to win the World Series this year? They've been cheated out of two of the last three World Series, even though they only talk about one, really. But they've been cheated, they've been wronged, and now it's their turn, and we're going to do it for our fans. Well, what happens when they lose? Do heads roll? Does their manager pay with his job? Do they rework the roster again? I mean, they just spent a ton of money on Mookie, and they brought in David Price. They've got a ton of money coming up in young guys, you know, who are about to get really big contracts. So what do the Dodgers do if it's another failure? Dude, I am so here for all of that. That will be highly entertaining.
Oh, my goodness. What happens with the managerial situation? That is going to be very entertaining, to say the least. Now, we do know this. David Price wound up opting out of the season. So that's an arm that conceivably the Dodgers could have had this year that they did not, just given the circumstances. But given the circumstances, I would say, Patrick, you are doing one of the best jobs out there in the country of hosting a terrific show. 7 to 9 p.m. Central out there on ESPN 97.5 is where you're able to hear late hits Monday through Friday. And Patrick, I know you do a whole heck of a lot more. I know that you did some play-by-play work for the Sugar Land Skeeters. I know you do a great job, but just reporting in general out there in the Houston area. So let the good people at home know where they're able to find you on social media, just what you're all working on in general.
You can find me on Twitter at PCreighton1, on Twitch at PCreighton1. I'm learning this whole Twitch thing. It's new to me, but I'm working on it. You can also find me ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, 7 to 9 p.m. Central, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific. You can get us on the ESPN Houston app. You can get us at ESPN975.com, and you can get us on Twitch at twitch.tv/ESPN975.
And Patrick does a terrific job hosting out there in the great city of Houston, a man that has joined this podcast quite a few times and always brings it. So big thanks to our good buddy Patrick Creighton for joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Podcast, now powered by Book It Sports. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast I give you my side and total for Game 4 of the World Series and something I like to call Touch 'Em All.
Welcome back to the Baseball Betting Podcast with Greg Peterson as we're off to a quality start, and now it's time to walk it off in a grand fashion.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Podcast. Myself, Greg Peterson, now presented by Book It Sports. Book It Sports is going to be launching November 1st. Going to be absolutely amazing. Think about it as a hybrid of Instagram and also Twitter, but only for sports betting. It's sports betting only. The things that you love about social media with regards to sports betting without the things that you hate. And you're able to follow all that they do at Book It Sports. And you're able to follow Patrick Creighton on Twitter at PCreighton1. Big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment right here on the Baseball Betting Podcast. Myself, Greg Peterson. Now it is that time that I give you my side and total for Game 4 of the World Series and a little something I like to call Touch 'Em All.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch 'em all.
Do note that if there is a change to these plays, it will be listed up on my Twitter feed at GRNSCORDY1. I'm doing this right as opening numbers are coming out for Game 4 of the World Series. As per usual, we're going to be going in Las Vegas tradition order, but that's very, very obvious because, well, there's only one game on the betting board, but it is 957-958, the LA Dodgers playing against the Tampa Bay Rays. Dodgers officially listed as a road team, but as we know, this is a game that's taking place out there in Globe Life Park as Julio Urías is going to be going for the LA Dodgers. Meanwhile, you've got Ryan Yarbrough, who it was confirmed that he was going to be pitching in some capacity in Game 4 before the start, but it was confirmed after the game that he will actually be the starter. It seems like there will be no bulk guy, but he's going to be going for the Tampa Bay Rays. Your total on this game is 8. I'm seeing one stray minus 120 with regards to the over on the juice, but mostly I'm seeing minus 110 both ways, and with that minus 120 on the over, and I'm seeing that at the Westgate, the under there is even. If you're taking a look at the Dodgers on the money line, you're laying anywhere between minus 160 and minus 170. Meanwhile, with the Tampa Bay Rays, finding them anywhere between plus 145 and seeing as high as a plus 152 at this point, I just think that the Dodgers are better. We were talking about with Patrick Crane, if you're looking at the better team right now, that is the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, this is a team that they've got so much more payroll than the Tampa Bay Rays, and when you take a look at Ryan Yarbrough, he just doesn't have the swing and miss stuff that I think that he really needs to silence some of these bats. You take a look at Ryan Yarbrough during the postseason, he has made 3 total appearances, one of which is a start, 10 and 2/3 innings. He's given up 4 runs, but 3 of which have been home runs. He's only gotten 6 strikeouts in that time, and during the regular season, 44 punchouts across 55 and 2/3 innings. I will say the command has been pretty solid across the regular season and the postseason, right around 66 and a third innings. He's only issued 15 walks, but he's also given up 8 home runs regular season and postseason combined, so that's a little bit of an issue. You take a look at the Tampa Bay Rays team. I was mentioning it with our good buddy Patrick Crane. They just seem to be a little bit too reliant on their big bats, Emmanuel Margot along with Randy Arozarena. If you wound up having under 7.5 runs in the game yesterday, obviously that was a bad beat. If you got in super early and you were able to get an 8, that was a bad push, as Arozarena, 8 home runs so far this postseason, but for the World Series, Manuel Margot is hitting a 400 for the Rays. I believe everyone else that had an at-bat on Friday is hitting a 222 or worse, so that is obviously a big issue for the team and for the Tampa Bay Rays. You are going to have quite a few of your trustworthy horses out there in the bullpen ready to go. I'm talking about guys like Aaron Slagers, Aaron Loop. Both of these guys are able to give multiple innings. Peter Fairbanks has been able to do a terrific job for this team this postseason. I will say they've been having a couple issues with their normal closer, Nick Anderson, but you've got to have a little bit of faith that he's going to be able to find it as well, Diego Castillo. So you certainly have that going the team's way. But for the LA Dodgers, I mean, it doesn't matter who's at the plate. You feel like every single one of these guys is able to go deep. I mean, Austin Barnes was a guy that was able to have a nice home run for this team in the sixth inning yesterday. Max Muncy is hitting a 364 for the World Series. Max Muncy is a guy that during the regular season, he wound up hitting a .192. Now, 12 home runs is nice, but he certainly wasn't doing a solid job there. Meanwhile, here in the postseason, he has been able to do a much better job of being able to get on base. Mookie Betts is hitting a .333. We all know what he's able to do with his wheels and his glove thanks to what he was able to do during the NLCS along with game one of this World Series. Corey Seager has a combined 6 home runs between the NLCS and this World Series. He's hitting a .333. Will Smith has been a little bit dormant when it comes to the bat with regards to a batting average at .54, but he's got a home run in this series. List goes on and on, and for the Dodgers, they used up Kenley Jansen, so if there is a save situation, perhaps they wind up going to someone a little bit more trustworthy, a guy like Victor Gonzalez, who during the regular season was a little bit up and down, but you can tell in the postseason, he's really been able to do a great job for this team. Pedro Baez is available for this squad as well. Joe Kelly has actually been able to do a solid job. He sometimes is one of those guys that'll make you sweat a little bit, but he typically has been able to get out of it, so I do think that the Dodgers have a massive edge here, and when you take a look at the Dodgers for Julio Urías, I certainly do think that his ERA is going to climb a little bit, because it's right now 0.56 out there in the postseason. He's given up 2 runs, one of which was earned over the course of 4 appearances. He's made 1 start, a couple long appearances. He was the reason why this team was able to get to the World Series, or at the very least, a large part of it, because he wound up closing out that NLCS Game 7 against the Atlanta Braves with 3 scoreless ending. And for Urías, he has been able to have better swing and miss stuff here in the postseason than the regular season. In the regular season, 45 punchouts across 55 innings, but here in the postseason, 16 strikeouts in 16 innings. And what I like about Urías is between his 11 starts and 4 long relief appearances, and this is regular season and postseason. 2 runs or fewer given up in all but 2 of them. So he's been a steady Eddie guy. I think that he's the exact guy the Dodgers need to get the job done. Keep in mind as well, the total yesterday wound up going over, and that was despite the roof being closed. It seems like the roof is probably going to be open if at all possible here in game 4, but we're seeing that just because of the sheer amount of home runs that are being hit in this series, because the Rays are a little bit of an all or nothing team and the Dodgers, they're just stout top to bottom. It just doesn't matter at this point. They're going to crank the ball out. So I'm going to be going with this total over, and I'm going to be taking the Dodgers on the run line, because keep in mind with the Dodgers across all of their wins, I believe all but 8 of them, and this is regular season and postseason, and they've got north of 50 wins between the regular season and the postseason, have been by 2 plus runs. So that's over 80% of their wins. So I'm going to be taking a look at the Dodgers on the run line. I'm seeing that right around minus 105 in most spots as I'm doing this podcast. So that will do it for the Baseball Betting Podcast on this lovely Saturday. A big thanks to our man, Patrick Crain, who's doing terrific work out in the lovely city of Houston, for ESPN 97.5 for joining me in the second segment. Big thanks to our good friends at Book It HQ, now a fine sponsor of this podcast. And a big thanks to you guys for tuning in. And if you like what you're hearing, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. That'd be Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And if you ever have any question for the podcast, feel free to fire that into my Twitter timeline at JRS41. Hopefully you're all safe, healthy, and doing well. I will talk to you guys once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.